On the wrong side of Tinseltown, only BFM's man on the street knows where to go for the real scoop. It's Fabian's Hollywood with Fabian Fanboy.
Good friend, good friend.
Mike, how are you?
Good, good. How are you, sir?
I'm good. I'm in New York at the moment.
I can hear the difference in the atmosphere. It's a little bit more buzzy, isn't it? A little bit more electric.
Yeah.
Isn't it? In New York, eh?
Yeah, totally.
What are you doing over there on that coast?
I'm doing some New York Film Festival stuff and some New York Comic Con stuff and some stuff for the new Peter Jackson film, Mortal Engine.
Cool!
Which I'm looking forward to, yeah.
That movie looks insane, man.
PJ. It does, yeah, but I'm not going to get to see it. They're only showing us footage. I'm really angry, but it is still quite far out, so I'm sure they're still slapping it together.
Just very, very briefly, do you want to give people the premise of what that movie's about?
Yeah, it's based on a series of books set in the distant future where all the cities of the world are mobile and are on these giant kind of like caterpillar wheels, and they go around consuming other cities. So very ambitious in scale. And but I just came out of an amazing film at the New York Film Festival, the new Coen Brothers film, The Ballad of Buster Scruggs.
The Ballad of Buster Scruggs.
Yeah, which is a Western anthology. It was originally reported that this was going to be a series for Netflix, but apparently it was always planned to be an anthological film. And it's six tales set in all Western. There's no real overlap between the stories. And each story is kind of a different Western subgenre. Like one of them, like a singing cowboy story, that's the title story, starring Tim Blake Nelson. As Buster Scruggs, he's the guy from Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, who isn't John Turturro or George Clooney, and he's just magnificent. It's got all sorts of people in it. It's a total masterpiece. It really got me, and I think it's going to have a theatrical run before it goes on Netflix. Not sure if it's going to play theatrically in New Zealand or not, but I literally just came out of it, and the Coens did a Q&A. They are great people. We don't deserve them.
Yeah, totally.
Greatest living American filmmakers.
The fact that they keep making movies is just so. It's gluttony, isn't it, for the cinema goer?
Yeah, yeah. So there's like a singing cowboy story, and then there's like an almost Sergio Leone-esque kind of gritty one, and then there's kind of more of a John Wayne stagecoach kind of one, and then there's kind of a romantic one. And I laughed and I cried a lot of both. It was great.
Wow. I love it. I love hearing you fizz at the bun. It's fantastic.
Hey, did I tell you what I was doing last weekend?
Yeah, you were going to go and interview someone. Yeah, you run us through it again, love. Go on.
I went to NASA.
I went to NASA at
Cape Canaveral, Florida for the first manned junket. I sat down with Ryan Gosling and a bunch of other people for that new Neil Armstrong film.
Ryan Gosling, he plays Neil Armstrong, the first man to stand on the moon.
Yeah, it's an amazing movie. That really got me in the gut, too.
Oh, no. I'm going to be sucked in by that so hard. Woo! Can tell already.
Yeah, it's directed by Damien Chazelle, who's the guy who made La La Land and Whiplash before that. And it's a weirdly intimate film. Like, it felt like it was sort of three-quarters extreme close-ups and lots of shaky cam. But it's really kind of personal and first-person while also being really epic.
Does it tell you the story of Neil Armstrong to the point of you begin to understand? Because he got back from that whole moon experience, and he was very, very almost stoic and quiet and basically a nut that nobody could crack.
Yeah, he's always been something of an enigma, and this film starts off from that perspective, and it digs deeper than perhaps has ever been dug before, but still, he remains somewhat unknowable by the end of the film. He was a stoic, humble guy who didn't like attention and didn't think he was a hero and just considered himself to be the tip of the spear of this 400,000-person effort to get to the moon. And so the film doesn't try to psychoanalyze him too much, but I do feel like I know him a bit better now. And there were some things about him in there that I wasn't aware of. and Gosling is great. He, when I interviewed him, I introduced myself from New Zealand, and he's like, "Oh, sure, bro." He's a great guy.
He did a bit of time here as a young man, of course. You know, he was in Hercules. No, he's got good friends over here, I believe, you know. That's cool. That's really cool. I think he does a great, you know, Blade Runner is a good example of this. Drive's a good example of this. Well, he does a great just blank face, man. His blank face is some of the one of the best blank faces on the block, you know.
It's true. And that suits kind of Neil Armstrong because, as you say, he is somewhat of an enigmatic person. And that blank-facedness suits what we know about Neil Armstrong. So it works for the film really well.
All right. So, and what about NASA? Tell us about NASA.
Oh, that was amazing. We went into where they have Saturn V, which is the big, huge rocket.
Yep.
And at Atlantis, which is the old shuttle that went up and back over 30 times.
Massive, eh?
Saw that up close.
Massive, isn't it?
Yeah. And it's a weird part of the world. It's all so spread out. I feel like it's all reclaimed land because it's all very flat. And it feels like a giant mini golf course. You know, there's like weird buildings popping out of the ground. But I saw the Blue Origin building, which is Jeff Bezos's space project.
Wow.
No windows on that building.
Ooh.
And it was very, very cool and very inspirational. And it's kind of so ridiculous how people still, I guess a lot of people joke about it, but I don't even want to hear the jokes anymore. The conspiracy theories around the moon landings are just so, I just have no time for that anymore.
No, neither do I.
It's just a bit stupid, really. And this film emphasizes the human cost of that effort to a large degree. And I met Neil Armstrong's son. That was amazing.
Wow.
And the children of some other people who were involved in the space program.
You've got one thing you've got to give to Neil Armstrong's son, you know, you've got to show him a bit of respect because the poor guy's going to be Neil Armstrong's son forever. You know, it's like...
It's true, but...
You're going to have to make a real dent in the world to be anything other than just Neil Armstrong's son when you're Neil Armstrong's son.
Yeah, but they wear it well, though, you know. It doesn't seem to have affected their life too negatively at all, but... That was pretty amazing. The vehicle assembly building, which is where they put together the rocket, is sort of the biggest square I've ever seen in my life. It's a big cube. And the doors alone, so they can roll the rockets out, you know.
The big slow-moving transport machine's awesome.
Totally.
Huge,
and
huge.
I just looking at this building, you start hearing that 2001 music, you know, the...
Yes, I do know that.
Anyway, it was pretty great. Apparently, Venom is out this week. Haven't seen it. Apparently, it's tosh.
It's rubbish, is it?
That's the word on the street.
But people are really excited. I don't really know much about Venom, the thing itself. I mean, Venom is... for a long time, I thought it was just like a baddie Spider-Man.
You're exactly right. That's what it is.
Is it?
So it's ridiculous to make a film about him that doesn't acknowledge Spider-Man. People should be going around saying, why do you look like an evil Spider-Man? Because Spider-Man apparently doesn't exist in this universe. And it's like, do you know who Bizarro Superman is? He's like the kind of weird, backwards Superman. It'll be like making a Bizarro Superman.
I've met a few people who think they're Bizarro Superman, but...
It would be like making a Bizarro movie without acknowledging Superman. It just seems completely ridiculous. Because he looks like Spider-Man. He looks like an evil Spider-Man, but there's no Spider-Man. So... and Tom Hardy got all this attention for saying that his favorite 40 minutes of the film were cut out and he had to walk that back. I love the way every time Tom Hardy has a film coming out, he puts his foot in his mouth during the press tour, which is kind of refreshing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, like, God forbid he might just come out and go, oh, I loved making this movie. It's fantastic. I think it's the best movie I've ever made. You guys are all going to love it.
Yeah,
he's a bit cool. He's a bit cool and moody for that. I kind of got hots for him. I've got the hots for him, I think, maybe.
He's cool. I like Tom Hardy. Gus Van Sant's new film is out this week as well. He Won't Get Far on Foot. That stars Joaquin Phoenix and Jonah Hill. It's a true story.
Any good?
About a man. I have not seen that either.
Tess has downloaded that one.
Oh, I didn't download it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I saw that one. It's good.
Is it good?
Yeah, it's really good. It's quite feel good.
Sure.
It's a bit slow, but it's quite feel good.
All right, Ren.
I can dig it.
All right. Hey, mate, well, that sounds like you're having a great time in New York, my friend.
Yeah, it's fun time.
Fun times. All right, we'll speak to you next week, eh?
Cheers, Mike. Have a good one.
Thank you, Fabian Fanboy, all the way from Hollywood / New York.
You'll be listening to Fabian's Hollywood with Fabian Fanboy.